But it is. Are they? Okay, so some are coming later in the week. So that's very good. So we're very thankful for that. Good service this morning, amen? All right, good service this morning. It's good to be in the house this morning. And thank you again for those who are part of staff being here tonight. And I know Sunday nights are not always the normal, but that's kind of what we do here. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11 tonight. And so we're going to bounce in here a little bit in the Old Testament. And we're going to go from there. So how many of y'all spend a lot of time praying? How many of y'all pray when you get in trouble? How many of y'all pray when you get in financial issues, health issues? How many of y'all pray when everything's going great? That's good. That's good. But we have a tendency not to pray so much when everything is going great. And we have a tendency sometimes to lose a little bit of that hunger for the Lord. We hunger for the Lord when we're hurting. And sometimes we lose that hunger sometimes when things are going well. This one has spent a few minutes tonight with you a little bit. And I think sometimes when we go to the Lord, we don't go to the Lord as strong as we should. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us we need to go to the throne boldly. We need to go there knowing who we are in Christ and who He is. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're believers in Christ. We're sons of we're the sons of the Lord. We're children of God. We're part of that family. So He tells us that we can go to Him, and we need to go to Him. But I want to read something here in Luke and chapter 10 and or chapter 11, and I want to read here in verse 9. It says, "So I say to you, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." We see a piece here where Jesus begins to tell them that there's a part of our, that we have a responsibility. Number one is we don't give up. We don't give up and we don't quit. We need to keep continuing to go into the direction that the Lord has for us. It's not always going to be days of sunshine and days of blessings, but sometimes those days are going to be harder. And they're going to be tough, and there are going to be moments where we're going to be knocking on the door and we're going to keep asking. And I want to tell you this. Number two, I want to look at this thing here is, who do I ask? We are to ask of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to ask Him. He's the one that sits next to the Father interceding for you and us, for you and I. And we need to continue to ask Him. We need to ask Him for those things that we need in our life. And as we grow up into the Lord, we find out that once you start asking the Lord for something, you will find out, as you draw closer to the Lord, you'll find out that what you are asking for will begin to change sometimes. And what will happen is you'll spend time praying for something else than what you intended to, because the Holy Spirit will adjust what you think you need to ask for, and the Holy Spirit will move into what you really need to be asking for. And the Holy Spirit is there, and He comforts us, and He leads us. And so we need to do this. When I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. We need to know in confidence that I'm going to trust my asking. What I need, I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for it. I'm also going to know that I'm searching. When I'm searching for something, then I know the Lord's going to lead me to what I'm searching for. Amen? Now, we were amen a little bit this morning, I think. So we need to keep searching and not giving up, and we need to keep knocking. We need to keep knocking. We need to be persistent in what we're praying for. We need to be persistent, and we need to continue to search. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. He said, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father, the Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" I want you to turn over to 2 Kings now, to chapter 4. This is where we're going to go. We're going to bring that into, I believe it, that we can learn something here from those scriptures about asking and searching and knocking and those kind of things. And we need to be, give out that. I want to show you in the Bible where a lady did this. And God is amazing. When we go to, and we do it, when we do it the way God wants us to, we cannot help but to see God move. We cannot help but to see God move. There's a woman here who's in trouble. Now, I know we've all been in trouble sometimes. It's things that we've done as a kid. We've done things as an adult we shouldn't have done. We do things sometimes to cause ourselves to get into trouble. Sometimes trouble finds us. Sometimes trouble will find us. And here we find that just, it's because of life. Life is filled with trouble. And we're going to find here that there is a woman here who's finding herself into some trouble. Let's go ahead and read in 2 Kings chapter 4. One of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, has died. You know that your servant feared the Lord. Now the creditor is coming to take my two children as his slaves." We see here a woman who's in trouble. Her husband, who is a part of the church house, who's a prophet, who's a part of, she even says that you know him. He's one of your servants. He has now passed on and went into glory. He has now passed on. He has died. But I've got to live life right here, right now. I've got to live life right here. I've got some problems. We as a family are in debt. Now, I want to tell you, just because you may be a preacher, you may be a deacon, you may be whatever, debt can find anyone very quickly. The number one debt you can have very quickly is a medical debt. It's not your fault, it's just a medical debt. And the debts can come to haunt you. And here it is, it's haunting her. Her husband is now dead, and she has her children, and the creditor is coming. They did things a little different than we do today. Every 7 years, you can go out and file a bankruptcy. You might have, depends on what kind of bankruptcy that you file, but you can file a bankruptcy in America. Here, they will come, and we read this, that she says, they're coming. I have a fear that the creditor is coming, going to take my children now as slaves so that they can repay the debt that me and my husband owe. That's in trouble. Did you not say that? That woman is in some serious trouble. Amen? She's in serious trouble. And she's got to figure something out. She's very wise. The first place she goes to, as we see in scriptures, she goes to the church house. She goes to the men. She goes here and she says, your servant. Listen, they didn't have all those retirement programs. There's a lot of pastors that don't have retirement programs. There's a lot of people that don't have retirement programs today. And when we get older, sometimes things can happen. Or even when we're young, just some trauma can happen, and just something bad can happen at a moment's notice. And here we see that this woman's husband had died. And now the creditor is coming, and she says, your servant has passed away. My husband has passed away, and I've got debt. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I think the church needs to have some answers when people come in and say, I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do. My son is going to go to prison. My daughter is going to go to prison. I'm in trouble. I have hep C. I'm in trouble. I've got AIDS. I'm in trouble. My wife just asked for a divorce. I'm in trouble. My kids, I don't know where one of my kids is. They took off. I don't know where they are. Do we find out that we can be in trouble very quickly? All right, amen. We can find ourselves in trouble very quickly. And in the church house, we sometimes act like we are all good and we have no trouble. Folks, we have more trouble than we're sharing with one another, don't we? The Bible says we ought to share our burdens with one another. It means we need to share our pains and sufferings, and we need to be praying together with those. And if that person won't pray with you, then you need to find somebody else. When I was a very young man and come to know Christ at the age of 12, there's something about, I just love the altar. I love to come down to the altar. I would go find a deacon that was sitting there. Sometimes I never seen him go to the altar, but God would use me to bring and touch that deacon and say, I need somebody to pray with me for this situation, that situation. I've never been afraid of the altar, but I had a lot of awe for the altar, because I believe when you go to the altar, you are bringing and putting yourself in the presence of God. And you need, and so there's a request, and this woman is coming to the church. She's coming to the place where she is looking for answers. And here Elijah asks her and says, what can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? It always starts with, what do you have? It's not a free gimme in society, which is America has kind of come to that. It's all this entitlement. You tell me, the government, we should give this, this, and that. But here Elijah, he says this, first of all, what do you have? We all got something. So we start with what we have. And it's probably not going to be enough. But it's something God can bless. Amen? It's something that God can bless. How many of y'all been to a point where you said you only had X amount of dollars, but somehow it lasted all week? And you didn't spend it foolishly? But God somehow stretched that 50 bucks for a whole week, and you're like, I don't really understand. I bought gas, and I did this, God will use what you have if you let him use it. And even though as small as it is, God's going to take care of it. But he says this, you tell me, what do you have in the house? And she says, your servant has nothing in the house. I have a jar of oil. That's all I've got. What we think is what we got is enough if we give it to God. if we trust God with what we have. We need to trust God more than we do. We have a tendency to trust God more in our hard times and hardships than in our good times. But he said this crazy thing. He says, go and borrow empty containers from everyone. What? I'm already in debt. I already owe this guy and he is coming. But it says, go and borrow empty containers from everyone, from all your neighbors. So basically, I'm going to borrow something from my neighbors, something that I can give back. Not something that I give back and down the road, but I'm going to give this back. He says, do not get just a few. Then go in, and he says, so don't get a few, go out. And so it's going to be a faith thing. So she goes out and she gets all the jars that she can. She gets her sons, they get all the jars that they can get. Then he says, I'll go in and shut the door behind you and your sons. And pour oil into all these containers and set the full ones to one side. And so she left. Now that's, I'm going to fill all these jars with one jar of oil, and I've got all these jars, and so here's my test of faith here. I'm going to do this thing. And I want to tell you, it says after she shut the door behind her and her sons. There's a moment when you can get all your church friends and family to back you, but there's sometimes a moment where you've got to shut the door, and it's just going to be you, your problem, and Jesus Christ. What are you going to do in that moment? You've got your mentors. You've got people praying for you. You've got your family rooting for you. You've got other pastors praying, deacons praying for you. You got everybody on your side, but still there's that moment that you're going to step into the door and in the room, and you're going to shut the door behind you, and it's going to be you, your troubles, what God's given to you, and God's going to be in the room, and your faith is going to have to be ignited. Amen? You're going to have to ignite your faith. I can't live off of your faith. You cannot live off of my faith. We can spark one another's faith, but we cannot live off each other's faith. We need to have a faith in Jesus of our own. And of our own, it will be tested from time to time. And here is the thing. She's lost her husband. These boys have lost their daddy. There's a lot, and some pain don't go away in one day. Trouble happens, and it keeps. She probably didn't even have time to grieve at this moment. The boys were being put to work. She fears that she's going to lose her sons because of the debt that they had. You know, there are people today that have a hard time grieving because of the situation. Have you ever been to a place? We've all been to the funeral parlor. You've lost a father, a mother. You're in charge of it. Maybe you're an executor. Maybe you're part of it. And you've got to go in there and sit with the Mr. Funeral Man. Nothing against them or anything. And they try to be as soft as they can. But our world tells us, let's deal with it right now. Let's deal with it right now. Let's deal with this let's deal with this situation right now. And we have a hard time mourning and grieving. That's why it lasts a long time for many people. They have a hard time with it. Here she's doing this. And they kept bringing her containers. The boys did. And she kept pouring. So the bottle of oil continues to keep going. And when they were full, she said to her son, bring me another container. She's getting it. She's starting to get it. Bring me another one. Bring me another one. Bring me another one. And then, but he replied, but the boy says, there aren't any more. Then the oil stopped. You see, God will give you what you need. Sometimes he'll give you more than you need. But it will stop. And she went in and she told the man of God. And he said, now, he said this, now go sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your wives can live off the rest. Or you and your sons can live off the rest. So we see a piece here where this woman now is going to breathe. Not only is her trouble being taken care of, the indebtedness and the fear of losing her children. Now she's got some even to live off of. I bet that night, it doesn't say this, but I bet that night she glorified God in prayer. Isn't that what you do when God answers one of your prayers? I hope that's what you do. I think that's a godly thing to do, to praise the Lord. I believe that this woman I think that she would do that. Now I go back into Luke. I go back to Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to read this again. In verse 9, he says, "So I tell you to keep asking." What did she do? "I'm in trouble." She went to where she went to the right place. She didn't go down the street to the bar and say, "Mr. Whiskey, can you fix me up?" She didn't go to the drug dealer. She didn't go to this man or that man and that man and try to burn up all the relationships she had. She was a believer. She went to the house of God. She knew where her hope came from. Amen? A hope comes from the Lord. And God's people, God can use a lot. Many times, even in Scripture, it says, He would tell Paul, "I have many people in this city. Keep preaching. I got many people in this city." And God should be able to say that about this church and about any church that preaches His name and those that are believers. They should be able to be, God should be able to say, "Over there, I have many believers." So she asked, "As I say to you, ask and it will be given to you." What was she asking for? She was asking for a remedy to her trouble, and it was answered. She was searching. She searched and she got it there with the prophet. She kept knocking and she went in that door. She went and she came out that door different than when she went in. And everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. God answers. We make it too complicated if we just turn to Jesus in every part of our life. We will see God move. Here's the problem in today's society. Not society. Society says, "Show me a miracle, I'll believe." Well, God, when Jesus was here, He showed lots of miracles and they didn't believe. The people that came, the Hebrews that came out of Egypt, seen more miracles than anybody had seen. I mean, just awesome miracles. And they still, "Let's go back to Egypt, let's go back to the pig pen." It isn't about seeing a miracle and then I'll believe, because that's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's about igniting your faith. It's about knowing that when you want to give up, you don't give up. It's about knowing that you're in a headlock and darkness has got you in a headlock, or your troubles have got you in a headlock and it's laughing at you, and you are just there with the last breath, you're still praising God. You're still believing that God's going to rescue you in your last moment when you're going underwater and you say you gasp for enough air, and you know the next time you go down you don't have enough. But you still believe that Jesus Christ is going to lift you out. That's the faith that God is looking for. That faith there that says, "Only in God will I trust. Only in Jesus will I trust." And our community needs that. Amen? Our community needs that. We need to go boldly to the throne, knowing that my answers and the things that I need, that I'm searching for, and the doors that I'm knocking on, that Jesus is the one that can give the answers. He's the one that has it all in His hands. Not people, not programs, but Jesus Christ Himself. We'll search everywhere else. And we'll look at everywhere else. We'll ask everyone else. We'll search everywhere else. We'll knock on every door except the one that really has all the keys and the answers. You ask, Jesus answers. You search, you'll find Him. You knock and the door will be open. He says, "I stand at the door and knock," in Revelations. So I don't know about you, but I'm still asking for a few things. Because I know the Father loves to give. And there's a few things that He's going to allow me. He's always going to allow me to be in the needing part of my life. There's always going to be. Because that makes me draw to Him. That keeps me close to Him. That keeps me praying. I'm going to keep searching for something. I'm going to keep searching for the next house. Because I know the vision of this church. We know the vision of this church. I'm going to keep knocking on the doors. You know why I feel this good? How many of y'all just love to hear the voice of God? Man, I love to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I love to hear. It isn't always what I'm thinking is going to come out, but I'm telling you, it's always good. It's always good. There's times when you hear it and it's not, you're under conviction, you deal with it, and you take care of business. But we got to believe that God can take care of any trouble and any problem that we have. We got to believe that God can do all that He says He can do. In the book of James in chapter 5, we're going to go here in a minute. We're going to go to a special place. We haven't done this in a while, but we're going to do it. I forgot you guys were coming, but it's okay. It's good you guys are here. We all know that Lucifer fell because of pride. Biblical? We sometimes in churches, we become prideful with what we have and prideful of our hearts, and we as Christians sometimes can become prideful because we don't feel like we need anything special. We don't feel like we need to kneel anymore. We don't feel like we need to do certain things. But I want to tell you, God knows how to keep you humble. He knows how to keep us humble. And it's for our sake, it's for His purposes, that we don't get too big for our pants. I got a few things I'm asking for from the Lord right now. I got a few things I'm searching with Him. I'm not quite sure on a couple of things, and I'm okay with that. Because I know if I'm pointing in His direction, it's the right direction. Been in this long enough, I know the Holy Spirit's voice, and I know the dark side's voice. It's very tempting and very alluring at times to get you sidetracked. But the Bible says this in James chapter 5, and we're going to go to an altar call here in a minute. I'm going to make this short tonight, but I want to read something here. It says, if anyone is suffering or anyone is in trouble, you should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church and they should pray over him after anointing him with oil and the name of the Lord Jesus. The prayer of a faith will save the sick man. Sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. We don't like to do that too much. And pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful and effective. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Yet he prayed earnestly. There would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. Do you believe in prayer that strong still? That prayers can move mountains? I hope I'm not the only one that's asking God for something. And I believe as the older you get in your walk with Jesus, I'm not talking about age-wise, but the more mature you get with the Lord, you'll find out that your requests begin as a young Christian, it's about you. But as you begin to walk in your faith and you mature in Jesus Christ, you begin to realize and you begin to understand that you begin asking for other people. You begin to ask for others. Tonight we're going to give you an opportunity to come and pray if you want to pray tonight, whatever it may be, whatever's on your heart. I don't know if you can find yourself where this woman was at one time in your life. Maybe you were, maybe you are now. I don't know, but she shows us the way to do it by asking and searching and knocking. And God was right there. Tonight, as we begin to close this out, I want to give you an opportunity to come and pray. And then what we'll do is we do that. If you want to be anointed tonight, just call the elders to come down. It's biblical. We'll be praying right over here for you, for whatever you want to be. We're going to talk about that right over here. I believe that it's scriptural. We just read it. It was. It's a part of God's Word. So give that moment for you tonight. And if you just need to do whatever you need to do, maybe you need to go today into an invisible room right here. Close the door and work it out with Jesus. I'm telling you, you'll come out different. But there is something about getting on your knees before God. Amen? There is something about getting on your knees in front of God. Y'all are not amening much tonight, but that's okay. It's all right. So let's go ahead and stand.